WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Population shifts are underway in the Chicago suburbs. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. According to the latest numbers from the U.S. Census Bureau, not only has Chicago lost residents in recent years, but suburbs like Cicero, Hazelcrest, and Oaklawn have lost even more. Meanwhile, towns much further out from Chicago, suburbs like Plainfield and Oswego in neighboring Kendall County, they're gaining people. But not everyone is on board with these estimates. So in a few minutes, we're going to hear from suburban leaders about what they're seeing. But first, I checked in with Robert McCoppin, a reporter at the Chicago Tribune covering trends in the suburbs. Here's Bob.
So, you know, every 10 years, the U.S. Census Bureau does an official count. They do household surveys and try to get an actual count of the number of people everywhere. But in between those 10 years, each year they do an estimate based on things like births and deaths and in-migration and out-migration based on things like IRS records. So these are estimates that they do every year.
As I alluded to, some suburban leaders, as well as Governor Pritzker, they dispute the data. Why is that?
Well, because the census screwed up a couple of years ago, apparently. They had shown that Illinois losing population over 10 years up to 2020. But when Illinois challenged the results, the Bureau went back and they counted things like nursing homes and dormitories and came up with a new number that said Illinois actually slightly gained population.
Mm-hmm. So where are we seeing the biggest population loss, Bob?
In the most recent estimate, it was in Cook County, suburban Cook County. Chicago, over the last, since that 2020 estimate, with or the 2020 count, the latest estimate shows Chicago losing about 3%, but the suburbs losing about 3.5%. And it's not, it's some of the western, southern suburbs, like you said, but also the northern suburbs. I mean, Evanston, Arlington Heights, Schaumburg, Palatine, Des Plaines, all, according to this, these estimates, lost, you know, 3-4%.
Interesting. What about growth?
Well, the growth, as you mentioned, is out in the exurbs, as they call them, the outlying areas, the edge of the farm, where the suburbs turn into farmland. Places like Plainfield and Yorkville, where housing is cheap. You can get, you know, and some of the demographers I talked to said, you know, housing values have gone up so much that inner ring suburbs, sometimes like Cicero or Berwyn, people will sell there and they will move out and they can get a lot more for their money. You know, bigger houses for less money. And some people are looking for safer areas or better schools. So you're seeing people go out to the edges of the metropolitan area.
And so we're clear, this growth and loss that we're talking about, I mean, this does not include the recent addition of migrant families, right?
Right. You know, Chicago has gotten about 41,000 people, immigrants, off of buses and planes in the last year and a half. And those are not counted. That's not part of these estimates. So we're not seeing those in the numbers yet.
That being said, though, Bob, I mean, you're someone who's been following this for a while. Was the writing on the wall? Were there signs that we've seen that this was happening?
Well, yes, this follows, you know, long-term migration patterns, both in Chicago. You know, Chicago peaked population peak in 1950. So, you know, our population has been going down slightly decade to decade, except recently it's stabilizing somewhat, actually. But, you know, in general, people have been moving from the Midwest to the south and western part of the United States. You know, demographers say that the main reason people move is usually for a job or for a change in life circumstance, like, you know, getting married, moving out of your parents' house, retiring, things like that. So, you know, taxes and crime play a role, but it's usually people have their own things going on in yeah. their lives that make this happen. And there's also, I should mention, of course, there's been a big Black population exodus from Chicago over recent years. Yeah. You know, Chicago lost about 10% of its Black population in the 2010s. So some moved to the suburbs, but now the south suburbs, are also there's an out-migration there. So these right. are trends that have been going on for a while.
What did you hear from Mayor Brandon Johnson's office about the reasons that people are leaving Chicago?
Well, they... you know, they say that they are doing all they can to keep people here, that it takes some time for that to happen. Let me see. You know, they say that, you know, Ronnie Reese, the mayor's spokesman, said the underlying cause is rooted in historic disinvestment. So, you know, places where there was redlining in the past, of course, where there was, you know, it was you had to pay extra to get loans, or you couldn't get loans to buy a house. So people were not building up generational wealth.
Right.
You know, the loss of manufacturing jobs, of course, over the years, things like that.
We'll leave it there. Bob McCoppin is a Chicago Tribune reporter covering trends in the suburbs. He reported on this along with Jake Sheridan and Corey Rumor. You can read their full story online at chicagotribune.com. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Now let's hear from Suburban Voices. Next up is Vernard Alsbury Jr., who's mayor of the village of Hazelcrest. That's a south suburb of Cook County. Welcome, Mayor Alsbury.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Tell us, what do you love most about your community?
We're very easy to get to. We have train access. You know, 57 leads us right from Chicago, easy access off the road. Great neighbors and just a community that's beginning to grow after many years of just stagnant. Not a lot of growth. We see more growth economically. We see some intermodals coming in town. So, and we have the casino coming right down the road. So just excited about the community overall and the neighboring communities that surround us.
So you mentioned it's a community that's beginning to grow. Now there's new census data estimating that Hazelcrest specifically lost 4.6% of its population between April 2020, and July 2023. So somewhere between 500 and 600 people. Is there a discrepancy there?
I don't know where the numbers come from. As I always say,
from census data.
Yeah, I said even with the census, they never get it right. Especially after this census, where we had so many issues with getting people counted and getting people to even answer the door. I think we may see it across the state of Illinois and other places across the country where it was just hard to get census data. But I know we had some loss, as a lot of communities have, but I think those numbers may not be significantly true, because what I've seen is a growth, and especially people coming from Chicago to the south suburbs, particularly Hazelcrest, a larger people purchasing homes. We look at our data here in the village, people could come in to buy homes. And we see a lot of Latinx people, families moving into our community. So
yeah.
I don't know. We may have some laws, but I can't agree with those numbers from what I see, even on my block.
So let me unpack a couple of things you said there. When people are applying for permits and buying homes, where are they coming from? You said they're coming from Chicago?
Yeah, we get a lot of people from the Chicago area. And so when we look at where their address were previously, we see that they're coming from either some from the south side of Chicago, from the east side of Chicago, into our communities, and some far as northwest.
Mm.
So that's what some of our numbers look like as far as when they fill out the applications to move to the community.
And we know Hazelcrest is a majority Black community. So talk more about some of the demographic shifts that you're seeing with the new residents.
Well, the demographic shift I'm seeing is really indicative of the surrounding communities around me. I do see young Black families coming into the community, but I also see young Latinx families coming into the community, especially Hazelcrest, see it in Homewood, see it in Markham, and even as far as University Park. So that's what we're beginning to see as mayors out in our communities.
Mm-hmm. But if we go by this census data, in addition to what you're describing, there are some folks who are leaving Hazelcrest. And so I'm curious what you hear from residents about what some of the stressors may be on them, why they might consider moving.
Well, yeah, the stressors is, again, in the south suburbs, is property taxes. You know, I think we have some of the highest property taxes around out here in the south suburbs. And trying to balance that with actually, raising families is we find to be difficult. Since 2013, when I came in, and we partnered with the state to actually, the local government distributed funds. We said, okay, you guys can keep some of those dollars because the state was struggling, we were struggling, and we want to be good partners. Since then, it's been a struggle as the state has done better and beginning to actually pay its bills and get a good ratings. We have been asking for that money back, and we have not been able to get that. Those funds help us actually fund our police departments, fire departments, public works, and actually put amenities in our community that makes our communities more attractive to move to. So,
You know, there are also times when the state puts forth mandates like statewide use of body cams for police officers, for example, that your town has to abide by, but then, of course, the state doesn't fund it. Where does that money come from? Does your own local budget?
Well, we have to, and it's mandated. So, yes, in a local budget, we have to find ways to make sure that we provide that because it's mandated by the state. The state has also mandated that we actually make sure that we're able to ensure that people have their retirement. I think the state wants it to be like 90% funded, and I can't remember exactly the date when that is supposed to happen by. So we ask all of us, again, tweak our budgets to make sure that we are following that path, which has put a huge stressor on local communities throughout the state.
So when you hear that people are leaving Hazelcrest, where are they going? And what does this do for morale?
Well, it's hard because we're always trying to find ways to bring new things. I'm not sure where they may be going. They're definitely going where taxes are not as high. I mean, we have some, we're very close to Indiana, which makes it hard for businesses.
Okay.
For us to recruit businesses. So we see businesses going right across the border and probably some of my residents going right across the border to Indiana because the taxes are much lower. And so the people who can move and who are on a fixed income, they may, Indiana's probably a great draw for them to move to.
So what is Hazelcrest doing to not just keep residents, but attract more people to come to your town?
Well, we do great. We're rebuilding one of our parks to bring that type of amenity so that families have some place to go. We offer a summer program where the STEM program where we work with children from sixth grade to eighth grade, and this program provides STEM. STEM program. It offers them a summer enrichment program where they're able to get out and about. And that program is ran by the village totally free. If you're a Hazelcrest resident, you do not have to pay. And then we give the children a stipend. They get $25 a week. just for participating. So it's a win-win for the families, and it's a win for us because it gives our youth something to do. And we also work to have work programs for our youth who are right out of college to come back and work for the community. Mm-hmm. And then we actually try to, again, you know, have our employees live in our community if we possibly can. And we give concerts and do things for our seniors. We have a lot of commissions within our community, senior commissions, military commission, you know, youth commission, community relations commission, to get people more involved in their community and feel like make it more, I feel like more like home and have a say what's going on in their community. So some of the few things we do.
That's Mayor Vernard Alsbury of the Village of Hazelcrest. Thank you so much for checking in with us.
Thank you so much for having us and giving us a chance to talk about the Village of Hazelcrest. Thank you so much.
Now, we usually think about population in terms of housing, but there are other barometers used to measure, like infrastructure. Our next guest is Jackie Forbes. She's the executive director of the Kane Kendall Council of Mayors and chief of planning and programming for Kane County Division of Transportation. Welcome, Jackie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So according to these census estimates, Kendall County as a whole and many cities within Kane County, as we've heard, they're seeing population growth. When you drive around these areas, I mean, does that track with what you see?
Absolutely. You can see new housing going up throughout the two counties. Our transportation experts have been busy doing corridor improvements, things like that, that will help meet the needs of the new people coming. So absolutely, you can see it.
And you're seeing farms transformed into development.
Some of those. And we also see some infill development, things that maybe weren't working out that are being torn down and rebuilt. So there's both of that.
Yeah. What amenities in the suburbs are draws for you, Jackie? What do you look for?
I really enjoy the open space, a place to breathe. These small towns have some pretty incredible restaurants and retail. We have great schools.
Is that what you're hearing from others too?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of what Bob was talking about earlier, those same reasons.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned earlier that you work for Kane County's Transportation Department. So I want to learn more then about how transportation can be sort of this window into understanding population changes. New commercial and residential developments, they have to pay this fee for so-called trip generation. What does that mean?
Yes, we have a roadway impact fee program. So any new development or redevelopment in Kane County will pay a fee to us, and then we do improvements on the roadways in the area. It is based on trip generation. So a drive-through restaurant generates more trips than, say, a bank or a different kind of retail establishment. It's also for housing based on whether it's a single family or a multifamily home. They also do pay a fee.
So how much of an increase are you seeing?
We've seen quite a bit of an increase. Back in 2019, we collected $2.9 million. And in 2023, we collected $5.7 million. We've seen that increasing.
So thinking about those numbers, what does that represent to you?
That we have been growing, and we have not only that the population residential, but we have that commercial that's going with it. We also have light industrial that's coming with it, warehousing. We do have some new interchanges that have been improved in the county, in Kane County, and I think that's drawing a lot of different industry to us because they have that access to I-90 and I-88.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more about what you're hearing from your partners on the Mayor's Council. I'm hearing you had a meeting where people had to pitch these development ideas, and they were doing so for the years 2028 and 2029. So, I mean, they're betting, it sounds like, on continued population growth.
Absolutely. Our federal transportation funds that flow through the council, we do have to plan that far ahead, and our communities are doing that. They're looking at things like corridor improvements. They're looking at things like transportation or traffic signal optimization
yes.
and improvements like that, and also adding lanes because they know it's coming and they have to act now to meet the needs of the future. So that's how we have to do it that many years in advance.
2028 and 2029 sounds so far away, but it really isn't, right?
It isn't.
The Village of Oswego in Kendall County saw a 7.1% increase between April 2020 and July 2023. That's pretty big. What's happening in Oswego?
They have a project along Wolf's Crossing, which is a roadway there. It's a very large infrastructure improvement where they're adding lanes, widening the road, adding multi-use paths, so bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure for users of all the roadways. And that's they've been playing that for years. They've actually already completed some of that and are moving segment by segment because they saw the future coming and that people would be coming to Oswego and need that infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is this an active part of the conversations when I think about your mayor's council meetings, for instance, just this growth and what else we can do?
Yes, exactly. They talk about, they see it in their communities. They know that the housing is coming and that they need to do their improvements. So they're working closely with their engineers, their public works, our consultants to ensure that they're getting the funding they need and, mm-hmm. and doing that planning. It can take, for an average project, 5 years from the beginning until it actually starts construction. So you do have to plan your early phases of design engineering to get them done.
Yeah. I asked the mayor of Hazelcrest about morale. You know, among community residents. So I guess it would sort of be the flip side here. But talk about your feelings when it comes to that, right? How folks around will feel seeing new neighbors pop up and instead of the opposite, where folks are taken off.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. It definitely draws more people to the community. They feel that sense of place.
Yeah.
On the flip side, too, we see a lot more people who want to age in community. They want to stay where they're at and not necessarily move out because they meet their neighbors and it's a vibrant community. So I think that's the goal of all of our mayors, to just have our vibrant downtowns, make sure our roadways and our parks, everything is top shape to keep people coming.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Jackie Forbes, Executive Director of the Kane Kendall Council of Mayors and Chief of Planning and Programming for Kane County Division of Transportation. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Maha Ahmed, and mixed by Max Lubers. To stay up to date with the stories and news in Chicago, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and head over to WBEZ.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.